Hey, it's Heath Mulliken from the Double Dropkick Show, and as you know, Mark Whitman and I are working with a great new wrestling organization in Seneca, South Carolina called Golden Corner Wrestling. We've got our first event coming up August 15th at Bountyland Baptist Church. It's Back to School Bash featuring the main event of Cedric Alexander against Caprice Coleman, both guys from Ring of Honor. I just wanted to take a second to welcome and to thank our gold level sponsors for this event. Without them, this event would not be possible. Cable Ad Concepts in Seneca, Little Pigs Barbecue in Seneca, Carolina Diesel Performance, JB Marsingill Insurance in Seneca, and of course, yours truly, the Double Dropkick Show. Go check them out, GoldenCornerWrestling.com, and we hope to see you at our event August 15th at Bountyland Baptist Church in Seneca. Now let's get on with this week's episode. Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And today we're going to do a career retrospective of the great Kali. Just one of the all-time greats, vastly underrated.
Yes, man.
Really,
when you talk about great promos,
oh,
of all time.
Excellent in-ring Kali, performer.
You know, just, I mean, the guy could do a standing backflip and land on his feet.
Totally joking. This is the podcast. We talk about the wrestling you grew up with. We hope you listen to part one of our show on Dusty Rhodes. This is part two of we don't know how many parts. We want to pick up today with Dusty's move to Crockett in 1983. So, Mark, share a little bit how that all came about.
Well, basically, Dory Funk was booking Crockett, and they were not satisfied with his booking style. They weren't where they thought they needed to be, and they were really looking to rebrand. I mean, the decision had kind of been made that Vince McMahon is going national. We want the traveling world champion had been Harley Race out of the St. Louis Wrestling Club for a long time.
Yeah.
And the move was going to be made to make the world champion based out of the Carolinas.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal. And they made a big deal out of it, and they brought Dusty Rhodes in, and he come up with the term Starcade.
Yeah.
Because arcades were really popular at the time. And it was, you know, just everything with Dusty was always using things that were going on in pop culture.
Yes.
I've noticed this, and in NXT, it's been said recently, it's come out that they kept him. There was that relationship that was there that's always been contentious with them, because he was a guy, and he's probably one of the last guys that they had on their payroll that would say no, that's a stupid idea.
Yeah.
And even though it would aggravate him,
yeah,
and even though it would drive him nuts that he wouldn't just go along with anything they wanted to say, he was kept around because they knew that he was not afraid to stand up to Triple H and not afraid to stand. He very famously got in trouble for improvising on his promo a year ago when they were doing the deal, and they had Big Show punch him out, and Stephanie McMahon was not cutting the American Dream Dusty Rhodes balls off on television, and he put his hand up in her face.
Yeah.
And he got in trouble for that.
Yeah.
They were not happy with the fact that he had the greatest promo cutter of all time.
Yeah.
I have no problem saying that.
You're talking about Dusty.
I'm talking about Dusty.
Not Stephanie.
The greatest promo in the history of wrestling because he drew money with his promos.
Yeah. He talked you into the building.
How dare he improvise with the $1 billion princess and do something that she doesn't know that it was coming, and she didn't know how to react to it.
Yeah.
And it just proved that she, as far as cutting promos, didn't belong in the same ring as Dusty Rhodes.
Right.
Because she didn't know how to react when he improvised.
Yeah.
And it embarrassed her, and they took him off TV, and they cut the promo talking about he was almost a national star and he just never could quite make it, which is – Dusty Rhodes, Triple H made more money, but Triple H isn't half the promo or half the star that Dusty Rhodes
was. Oh, man.
As much as he wants to tell everybody and his wife wants to tell everybody how great he is, he's not. He's not in Dusty Rhodes' league.
Can I ask you this?
And not many people are in Dusty Rhodes' league, let me just say that.
Right. There's not one single Triple H promo that I can remember.
No.
Because he's cut 52 promos a week
for 15 years.
Whereas Dusty, he wasn't on TV every week.
Right.
So when he would come out to talk, you'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, not tonight. Dusty Rhodes is.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody gather around.
Everybody yeah. come in.
Dusty Rhodes has got something to say. Yeah.
This man, he's telling the truth. He does not know who the Midnight Rider is. So what were some of the circumstances with him leaving Florida?
I think it was just, it was that time for him to make a, he, there was money.
Yeah.
I think it was just.
And he wanted to be do more booking.
Right. He wanted to do more booking, and he had learned a lot from Eddie Graham, and it was just time for him to move on and make some money. I mean, I really do believe that he saw the Crockett's as a place where he could make a lot of money. They were going to give him, even though he was the big star in Florida, he was not in control in Florida. Yeah. Eddie Graham was. And he kind of left Eddie Graham high and dry, and Eddie Graham committed suicide a few years later.
Yeah.
Because his territory folded when Dusty Rhodes left.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But my understanding was it was just a financial, it was an opportunity for him to use his creative mind, for him to have kind of full control for the first time and book himself at the top of the card and have control over all the story. If you remember, everybody talked about, you talked about Dusty wasn't there. Even when Dusty wasn't there, everybody mentioned him in their promos.
Right, right.
And nobody called him fat.
Right.
Nobody talked about his speech impediment.
Yeah.
Nobody talked about his hair except for him.
Yeah.
He was, it was okay for him to talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody else brought that stuff up. And they were always talked about Dusty Rhodes. Every single promo mentioned Dusty Rhodes, if you think about it. The commentators would talk about Dusty Rhodes, even when he wasn't there, when he wasn't in the ring.
When the network came on, I started watching all the old Starcades, and I was really kind of taken, because Dusty Rhodes doesn't wrestle at Starcade A3.
No.
I mean, Starcade A3 is all about Ric Flair.
Right.
But
that Flair for the gold.
And can I just say something, pet peeve? They spelled Flair so, like, Flair for the gold, F-L-A-R-E, then another place it's, I mean, the production quality of some of this stuff is severely lacking. But every time, excuse me, but every time they would go to Dusty in the crowd, and there's Dusty in this really nice suit.
Yeah.
And he was so versatile because he could come out wearing a suit, I mean, the Hard Times promo. He's wearing a suit. He'd come out wearing a blue jean coat.
But it was always an ill-fitting suit.
Yes.
It was never like a suit that fit right.
He wasn't custom made from head to toe.
But that was intentional, you know?
But you can tell, if you watch Starrcade 83, 83 is about Ric Flair. 12 months before it happens, they are already telling you, guess what? This is going to be the main event next year.
Well, see, there you're a little bit off base, because the intention was you were told what the main event was going to be after Ric Flair won the title, when he and Steamboat were talking.
Oh, in the locker
room. Steamboat had been teaming with him. The intention had been, before Dusty come along, that it's going to be Steamboat Flair. But Dusty very quickly moved Steamboat down the card and took that spot. And then Steamboat left to go to the WWF, as did Roddy Piper, as did anybody who could challenge Dusty on the microphone, or definitely for getting a good babyface reaction in Ricky Steamboat. They were quietly moved down the card, and they left. The same reason Dusty left Florida to come to Crockett. Dusty contends that he had been courted to get the Hulk Hogan spot.
Uh-huh.
And that the money wasn't, they couldn't get on the same page with the money.
Huh.
That's partly truth, partly fiction, but that had it been, if they could have got the money right, and it was apparently over some movie that Vince McMahon wanted to do.
Huh.
I'm just telling you what Dusty talks about in his book. I don't know that, that because they couldn't get the money right on that movie, the deal fell through and they went with Hogan instead of Dusty is there, but we'll get to Dusty and the WWF.
Right.
Later.
So Starrcade 83, Flair wins the title. I don't, again, this is right when I'm starting to watch it.
Right, right.
Leading up to Starrcade 84, again, I don't have any memories of 84, except I know a new Starrcade was coming up.
Right.
And it's Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, the Million Dollar Challenge.
Right.
With
Smoking Joe Frazier
as the special guest referee.
Where he stops the match because of blood, and Dusty goes backstage and cuts promos on Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
Because Dusty saw himself as the Muhammad Ali of professional wrestling, and I've heard what he really wanted to do for Starrcade 85 or to build over the year was him versus Joe Frazier.
Oh, wow.
Where he would beat Joe Frazier for not giving him – you know, for stopping the match for blood when there had been a match previously on the card where right. there had been a lot of blood as well that didn't get stopped. But Frazier stopped it for the cut over Dusty's eye. Dusty cut the – this ain't boxing, this is wrestling. I ain't never had a match stopped because I was bleeding.
The thing that caught me, again, as I was watching the Starrcade is they such a build to that match. It's not a long match at all. I'm not even sure if it goes maybe 10 or 11 minutes. It's not a great match.
No, it's not.
And the finish is just...
it's awful.
Downer. Right. Such a downer.
Right. But then you get to Starrcade 85.
Yeah.
Which is... that's Dusty Rhodes' genius at his zenith.
Yeah.
That whole show is great from the opening match of Crusher Khrushchev and Sam Houston.
But you got to go to steal your phrase. You got to go back.
I know. That's why I did it.
You set me up.
I set you up.
You got to go back to how did we get to Starrcade 85? You already know it's probably going to be Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair.
Right.
Ric Flair at this point, coming out of Starrcade 84, is the babyface.
Well, he's a tweener.
Tweener.
Right.
Nikita Koloff, the new kid on the block, attacks David Crockett. And who comes to Crockett and America's defense but the Nature Boy Ric Flair? So in the summer, again, I'm sure this is Dusty Jeans, they're going to do one show, The Great American Bash.
Right.
And I remember that show. The Road Warriors come, leads up to Flair and Nikita for the title. I think Dusty wrestles Telly Blanchard at the first match.
Yeah, I think so. That's the First Blood match.
I thought that was at a Starrcade. Was that at 80?
That might have been at the Bash 86 or something at 86.
I thought, Blood was Starrcade 86.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But I think maybe it's a bunkhouse match because it's like for the national title. I can't remember what title Telly had. But between summer and Starrcade, it's leading up. It's going to be Dusty and Flair. But Flair finds himself in a cage match against, I guess it was Nikita.
It was Nikita, yeah.
And the Russians jump him after the match.
Mm-hmm.
Was this in the Omni?
I think it was, yeah.
The Omni, when you watch old videos of the Omni, it has a certain look to it.
It does. It was
the lighting. Omni.
Yeah.
And this has become just one of the iconic moments in wrestling history. If you don't know, hit the pause button.
Go watch it.
Go watch it. If you have not watched this, oh my goodness.
And there again, you got to go back. I mean, to the big turn of 1980.
Yes.
It's kind of a playoff of that with the Assassins finally raised Dusty Rhodes' ire up enough that he would offer up his innocence and ask Ole Anderson to be his partner.
Yeah.
And then
they don't even have the match with that the Assassins. Dusty's in there. I mean, they have in the match, but as soon as Ole enters the match the first time,
he turns on Dusty. And you had the Assassins brought Ivan Koloff. And he was an enforcer, so they brought in Gene Anderson to be on Dusty and Ole's side. And then all of them beat Dusty Rhodes up in a cage. And nobody can get in there to help him. Dusty cuts one of his great promos after that where he it'll never be over. And, I offered up my innocence, which he used that one again. I don't know if he said – no, that was a different – that was with just the Dustin. We'll get to that one.
So he's in the – Flair's getting jumped by the Russians – and the fans are like, well, we don't really know how to feel here.
Right.
But somebody's got to come do something.
Right. And from the back.
In his jeans and sport coat and t-shirt, Dusty Rhodes.
Yep.
Makes the save, clears house.
And in the process, Ole and Arn Anderson slide in the back of the cage.
Well, Flair's laying down there, and Flair just starts pointing at Dusty. And right. Dusty's like, what?
Well, because there was heat between the two of them. It was played off that, what are you doing down here?
Yeah, I don't need your help.
I don't need your help. It was a jealousy thing. Dusty Rhodes, who had been his big rival for a year, had to save him from getting beat up. And then the Andersons attack. The cousins of Ric Flair, the Andersons attack. And it is one of the classic beatdowns. And Flair has that moment of hesitation that he sells where he almost doesn't do it. And then he grabs Dusty and jumps off the top rope, breaks his leg.
Yeah. And Dusty, the textbook sell job.
Lays and he cries.
Yeah.
As Ricky Morton cradles his head.
Yeah.
He cries.
Yeah.
And the fans riot.
Yeah.
It's one of the only riots that exists on tape.
Yeah.
You know, there's the classic Ox Baker riot.
Yeah.
And there's this one where they're not even the horsemen.
Yeah.
The Andersons and Flair go to exit the cage, and the crowd rushes the cage and closes the door and won't let them get out. And legend has it that it took them an hour to get the fans cleared away.
And they don't – to get Dusty out of the ring, they take the cage down.
And take the bottom rope off. I mean, it's an incredible job, and people were captivated, and they stayed there to watch this whole thing unfold.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're like, is he going to be all right?
Yeah.
I mean,
because this was Dusty before people had gotten tired of seeing Dusty. I mean, he was over.
Yeah.
Right at this point.
So they break his ankle and he's gone. He's off TV.
Right. But everybody's still talking about him.
That's right. And then he comes back and Bob Caudle. And when you watch old Mid-Atlantic shows, The interviews took place off to the side.
Right.
So oftentimes a huge part of the crowd, especially if there's bleachers, can't see what's going on.
Right.
When Bob Caudle called, it's the American dream, Dusty Rhodes, and Dusty, your fans are glad to see. And there is just this. The crowd is just going nuts.
Right.
Because he's been off TV, because is he going to live, you know?
Right.
And cuts, and I think you're correct, second best promo ever.
Yeah. And it's such a good promo. How many, even though I've always said Austin 316 is the better money promo.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's 20 years later, and they release an Attitude Era book that's got a bottle opener on it that says Austin 316.
Yeah.
So they're still making money, and I'm a money guy. That's like the whole thing with business is making money. But as far as verbally what he said, there's not a better promo than Hard Time.
Right.
Because he talked people into the building with that one promo. I heard the stats the other day, okay?
Yeah.
Not only did they draw in the Omni, not only did they draw people to the Greensboro Coliseum because they split Starrcade 85. They drew, I don't know how, $90,000 at the Superdome in New Orleans for people to watch it on close.
Yeah.
Spartanburg had a draw. It was several places. In today's money, they drew over $2 million in ticket sales. Jim Cornette says that night over 60,000 people left their homes to go watch Starrcade 85.
Wow.
And went out, whether it be to watch it on closed circuit or watch it at one of the two arenas where it was live. 60,000 people went out to watch Starrcade. It was the most financially successful, the most critically successful of all the Starrcades.
And 60,000 people went home that night thinking Dusty Rhodes was the champion.
Because it wasn't the first time that the Dusty finish had been used.
Right.
Because it had been going on for years, and it worked at house shows. The psychology behind the Dusty Rhodes finish was, my guy should have won this time. I'll come back next time. Because he hit his finish, and he beat the guy. but if it hadn't have been for this, he'd be the champion. So my guy should be the champion, so I'll come back next time. And it worked until it didn't work anymore, until you started going to shows. If you ever hear people talk about where they would go every week and see a show, and then they started doing it two or three times a night.
Yeah.
Every time they were there, and you could just watch the house drop down.
Yeah.
And then at Starrcade 87, 2 years later in Chicago, when the Road Warriors beat Tully and Arn, and they used a dusty finish, that was just one time too many.
Yeah.
And the promotion just lost
wrong time, wrong place.
Yeah, and being in the working hometown of the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
And it just, they should have won the titles that night, not done a dusty finish, and it killed Chicago.
Yeah.
People were very unhappy that they had done that. And it was just one time too many, and the promotion was sold to Turner shortly after that.
So let's talk. Let's dissect the Hard Times promo.
Okay.
I mean, nobody's going to disagree that it is what it is. It's just amazing. Yeah,
what other promo
do
people go back and watch once a month? As much as people can talk about the CM Punk pipe bomb, give me a quote from that.
Where
people sit around and just do it.
But, yeah. We met John Esconda, the director of Mid-Atlantic Memories, met him a few weeks ago, found out he's the one that set up Promo Theater,
right,
where the guy does the Morgan Freeman voice.
Yes.
What other promo are you going to do that?
Yeah.
So, like, for me, the first thing he's got going for him is he's been off TV.
Yeah, and there was speculation. Is he coming back? Will he be able to come back?
And when he comes back, this promo essentially confirms, I am going to get my world title shot.
Yeah, he thanks them for waiting.
Yes.
Thank you for letting me get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with that wait, I got what I wanted. I've been there twice.
I've been there twice. This time I'm going to do it for you.
Yeah.
And for that man up there talking about his father who never got to see a real world champion.
So many things that went into it.
It's here's who I am.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm here for. And here's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
He gives you the who, the what, the where, the when, and the why.
Yeah.
He gives you all of those in that promo. He tells you who he is, why he's there, when it's going to happen, what he's going to do,
and why
he's doing it for you.
Yeah. And that in that whole promo, he's like, hey, you're having hard times right now. I've had hard times.
Yeah. That's right. You can live vicariously through me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're having hard times. I'm going to go win this title. And when I win this title, it's going to be like you winning.
It belongs to you, people.
I can't win the title without you.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it for you. And when my hand is touching your hand.
Yeah.
And sticks his hand out like an old TV evangelist.
Yeah.
Stick your hand out. You know, there again, he used so much of pop culture, what was going on at the time. That TV evangelist trick, reach out and touch my hand, and I'm going to pray for you. And it was that kind of thing that he was doing.
And the great thing about Dusty, and then if there's any criticism of Dusty, and this is maybe what made him so special, is he would just get caught up in it.
Right.
And he really says some things sometimes that make no sense.
That's
but you
true.
Understand what he's like. We're going to get on this Dusty Rhodes Hard Times Blues tour. It's like toward the end of the Hard Times promo, he's like in another place.
He is having
an out of body experience
on this Hard Time Blues
for this greatest gathering of people on this.
Yeah.
Plant and like he.
Well, it was The Gathering, was the name of the Starrcade. Oh, it was called The Gathering because we were all going to gather together and support Dusty Rhodes and his quest for the title to get revenge on Ric Flair because Ric Flair broke his leg.
Yeah.
If he wants to get revenge on Ric Flair, because he says it, the one way to hurt Ric Flair is to take the thing that means the most to him, and that's the world title.
Yeah.
And when I take it, I'm taking it for you. And for that man upstairs.
I love you.
I love you.
What made it so long?
It's such a good money promo that drew people. You said, I have got to see this show.
What made it so logical is he comes back and he says, my ankle is not 100%, and I'm going to wear this reinforced boot.
Right.
And it gives the heels this, whoa, that's not right. fair.
And he's got this unfair advantage, but you feel like he deserves that. He's got an unfair advantage because of what they did to him.
So in okay, I got to get my years straight. This is Starrcade.
They do run together, man. Sometimes you kind of forget what happened.
So Starrcade 85, I would have been in...
It'd have been 10 years
old. Fifth grade, maybe. Fifth or sixth Not grade. Right. We walk in, and Starrcade's over Thanksgiving. We walk in Monday morning to course. Mr. Fleming, he's in a little portable. He's got a Dusty Rhodes poster. He's got a Magnum TA poster. We'll walk in. He's like, Mr. Fleming, you watch wrestling? He's like, yeah, I went. I said, where did you get these? He said, I went to Starrcade. I said, whoa.
Can you tell us what happened?
And like, can you tell us what happened? And I just remember being 10-year-old kid. Here's this man, and he's like, well, like, did Dusty beat Flair? Well, yeah. Oh, so he's the champ. Well, no. It's like, what? What's going on? And to have the Dusty Phoenix explained to a 10-year-old kid, this is the beauty of the Dusty Phoenix.
Now, see, I would have thought everybody left thinking Dusty was the champion. It was not told until a week later when Tommy Young came out and explained that Dusty was not the champion.
I'm just telling you what I...
What 40-year-old Heath remembers that remembers. A 10-year-old Heath.
What that was that Mr. You. Fleming was not under the impression.
He thought there was something fishy going on.
Right.
Okay.
That he didn't – because if you go back and watch the clip, you can tell Tommy Young does something.
Yeah.
And they've already had the celebration, and he's left the ring. And I think if you were in a – and maybe, you know, you said Bruce Mitchell talked about this on his show. Maybe it'd be interesting
like
to hear
if you want to hear a breakdown of Starrcade 85, I like to give credit where credit's due. Britt Whitmire, who does not write for the Torch but apparently is a friend of Bruce Mitchell's, he and Bruce Mitchell on the Torch, the Bruce Mitchell audio show this week, broke down Starrcade. They went from the top of the card all the way down and talked about every match. And they also did it for Starrcade 84 last year.
Uh-huh.
And it's worth – every once in a while, I think I'm going to cancel my Torch subscription.
Yeah, that's what you said.
And then Bruce Mitchell does a 2.5-hour show about Starrcade 85.
Yeah.
I've told you, there's not a lot of people who's – I don't listen to many commentators on Raw. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't listen to that stuff. I'm not interested in that. I listen to – Jim Cornette, Jim Ross, Steve Austin, Roddy Piper, guys who know the business.
Yeah.
Guy Ric Flair now. I listen to Taz sometimes. I listen to their shows.
Yeah.
And as far as historians go, I'm interested in what Bruce Mitchell has to say because he knows more about the wrestling business than I do.
And he was there for a lot.
And he was at the Greensboro Coliseum. I talked about Buddy Landell last time. He was at that match.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take away how good he tells the story by trying to tell it.
Yeah.
You need to hear Bruce Mitchell tell the story of being at that match and the storm that happened. He said, if somebody told you about this, you wouldn't think it was true.
Hmm.
He said, if Buddy Landell had told me the story, I wouldn't think it was true, but I saw it with my own eyes, and they had windows around the way that building's built. It's got windows around the top so you can see outside, and Flair picks Buddy Landell up for a vertical suplex, and he holds him there. And as he reaches the top, the lightning crashes, and it starts flashing in the place. And Flair holds him and holds him and holds him, and he couldn't have planned it this way. As he falls back and hits the mat, the thunder crashes, and you can hear it. And Bruce Mitchell talks about being there that night.
Wow.
And just how cool it was. And there again, he says, "If I know you don't believe me."
Yeah.
As he's telling the story, I know that nobody believes this happened. But I saw it with my own two eyes.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best visuals that he'd ever seen at a wrestling show. And he knows more about the history of the wrestling business than I do.
Yeah.
And you don't hear me say that about a lot of people.
No, no. We're both marks for Bruce Mitchell.
Yeah.
We saw him at FanFest last year.
Yeah.
And for you and I both, there is this, and you, and to be fair, you definitely introduced me to Bruce Mitchell's work and everything.
Right.
But it's like, I remember you walked up to him and just said, hey, thank you. And like, he was kind of taken back by it.
Right.
Because I think he knows he does great work, but I don't know that people are pulling him aside and like, hey, I really appreciate what you do. That was just a really cool moment.
Yeah, yeah, I enjoy. And I hope to see him. I want to talk to him a little bit more this year because my buddy that's going with me is like ditching me for 2 days. So I'm going to be there by myself. So if he comes back and I've made new friends with actual? Bruce Mitchell and guys like that, then just understand that I'm going to act like I don't know you.
Hey, Mark, what'd you do last day? Oh, Bruce Mitchell and I went out for some drinks. No, I've been hanging out in Tommy Rich's room the whole weekend.
Yeah, right. Me and Tommy Rich have been snorting coke.
Don't you pull the buddy laying down.
That's right. You know, yes, well, I'm Mark, afraid that when I like...
Mark said he was going to be here.
For people that don't know, I'm nothing if not honest. I am a man of vices.
Yes.
And when Heath is around, because he's a pastor, he tempers those for me. I'm afraid that when I get out of town in Charlotte and you're not there for 2 days, that I may pull a Tommy Rich or a Buddy Landale.
If I come back and there's a goat in our hotel room in honor of Rhodes and Murdoch.
I'm afraid that something like that is going to happen Friday night. I'm going to get into some trouble when you're not around to keep me straight.
Well, anyway, so Starrcade 85, Tommy Young gets knocked out. Yeah. Ole and Arn interfere. I remember Dusty, kicks him with the boot or whatever. And then it seems like Ric Flair always got pinned with a small package.
Yeah, with a small package or a schoolboy or something like that.
Something like that. Pin is made. Dusty celebrates. And then Tommy Young comes out the next week, and
tries to, in his voice, in that Tommy Young style, say, look, I got knocked down, but the Andersons come in. And at that point, I disqualified Ric Flair, and so I'm sorry, but Dusty's not the champion anymore. And it was like he didn't want to.
No. It was like he wanted the integrity of the sport. This is what I have to do.
What was so great about Tommy Young. I heard somebody else talking about this the other day, that he would always enforce the rules as though they were important, though the rules mattered.
Yeah.
For the integrity, whether it was a babyface or a heel, they talk about in the match when Dusty would start balling his fist up. Bruce Mitchell talked about this, and I didn't remember it, but he did. When Dusty would ball his fist up and Tommy Young would slap him on a hand. And tell him to open it. You can't punch him.
Yeah.
You can't punch him.
Yeah. You got to have it open.
Got to have that open hand, which is out the window now. I liked wrestling better when there were rules.
Yeah.
I did. Because if there are no rules, then the bad guy can't break the rules.
Right.
And I don't know who the heel is.
Yeah. I think that's what was so shocking about the Dusty finish at Battleground. When was the last time somebody got disqualified for outside interference?
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy. So we go out of Starrcade 85, and now this thing is happening where Flair and the Andersons are united.
Right.
And we go into 1986.
And Ric Flair, I remember him cutting a promo where he said, and all of a sudden I'm kind of starting to like Tully Blanchard.
Yeah.
Because they had some matches. I remember him saying that.
Yeah.
In a promo. All of a sudden, I'm starting to like Tully Blanchard.
So if anybody tells you that they ended 85 and Dusty's like, oh, yeah, here's what we're going to do. They're going to be this gang. They're going to be this faction. What solidified all that is the famous – they were doing the promos – where they would just go and talk about, we're coming to this town, coming to this town, coming to this town.
Right. And just to save time and money, they'd put a couple of guys on screen together.
Yeah. And at the time, the Andersons were the national tag team champions, I believe. Flair's the world champion. And Tully's either the national champion or TV champion.
Probably the TV champion, because he lost the – at 85, he lost the U.S. title, and
the national title at that.
Right. They had kind of become the same thing, I believe.
So –
And J.J. Dillon was managing Tully Blanchard.
Right. Telly Blanchard Enterprises kind of enters this partnership with everybody.
Right.
But they throw that, hey, guys, we're running out of time. Go do a promo. And you probably know it better than I do.
And as far as I know, it doesn't exist on video. So yeah. You can only go by the legend where Arn Anderson says something like, you'd have to go all the way back to the Bible and read about the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
You know, to see a force like this come through your time.
I remember seeing that promo. I promise.
I mean, I remember. I believe that you believe you saw that promo.
I believe. I did. I saw it. My hand was touching his hand.
If you say you saw it,
because as soon as he said it, I said, right, I held up four.
Yeah, did you?
Death, pestilence, famine, and war. There you go.
Is that the four horsemen?
Yeah. I'm assuming. Well, death, pestilence,
I don't need preachers war. Assuming anything. I want my preacher to know.
That's the four horsemen.
Okay, what are they again?
Death, pestilence, famine, and war.
Huh.
Because
because of Tombstone.
Because one time, Brad and I mean, we were kids, so we're playing. Yeah, they had the little muscle wrestlers, little pink guys.
Yeah, I remember.
Wrestling with those, and the horsemen attacked, but it was the horsemen of the apocalypse. Yeah. And then death came in and everybody died. So it's funny, there's things you remember when you're a kid.
Yeah.
So they did that, and like the next taping in Atlanta, the studio taping. Some guy showed up with sign, showed up with signs that said the four horsemen.
Yeah, something like that. And it may have been Bruce Mitchell and his friends in Greensboro. A lot of those wrestling sign stuff. Him and John Hitchcock and their friends. John Hitchcock just wrote a book.
Yeah.
Front Row Section D, which is where they always sat.
Yeah.
And they really are responsible for a lot of the traditions you see at wrestling now, with bringing signs. They would bring. Apparently, John Hitchcock was a graphic. He owns a comic book shop. He was really and he would do these really elaborate signs, and they always pull for the heels. And they'd infuriate Dusty Rhodes. He'd cuss them out. I'm looking forward to reading John Hitchcock's book. I haven't ordered it yet, but I really want to get a copy of it. And I'm hoping that it'll be at FanFest, because I'm suspended my wrestling buying stuff till we get to FanFest, because I've got a little bit more money to take with me this year.
Yeah.
And I'm planning on buying some cool memorabilia.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. So there were some posters last year I really wanted. There was a poster of Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA wearing fur coats. And if it's there this year, it's coming home with me. I'm really going to get some cool memorabilia, because I'm redoing my room at the house.
Oh, nice.
Where I have all my stuff. And I want to put some cool wrestling stuff in.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, and we've been talking about FanFest, and let's say you can't go to FanFest, but you want some cool memorabilia, NWALegends.com, they have an autograph program from a couple of years ago, $40. It's got 40 autographs. You can get autograph pictures there. If you're into wrestling, memorabilia and stuff, which I am, I'm an autograph guy.
Right.
Love getting
and
autographs.
I'm not.
No, you're not. I just, I think I told
you. Actually, I got a little surprise for you this year you don't know about yet.
Oh.
That I'm going to give to you, because I think it'll be a cool thing for you.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, today?
No, I don't have it with me today, but it's at my house. I'm going to give you one of, I'll tell you on the show, because I want your reaction.
Okay.
I wrestled, as you know, and I have a pair of black patent leather wrestling boots.
Yeah.
I'm giving you one of them to take with you to FanFest so you can get everybody to sign the wrestling boot, because I know you've already got the pictures.
Yeah.
And you've already got everything else.
Man.
But you'll have an actual wrestling boot that you can get everybody, so it'll have all the guys.
Ring worn.
Right, by me.
If you will sign it.
I'll sign it for you. I'll be the first guy to sign it. And then you can get everybody to sign that one boot.
Dude, that's awesome.
And I think that would be a cool piece for you to have.
Dude, yeah. Whose boot is that? Me, Mark Hansen. I have never heard of him. Well, let me tell you.
Yeah. And I thought, I don't know that I'm going to take the other one. I may do with the other one and get it for myself, but I don't know. Because it's
hard buying gifts for you because you're not an autograph guy.
No. I'd want to keep one of the boots for myself because it was my boot, but I don't mind giving you one because I think I'll know that it'll always like stay yeah. in your office, and it'll yeah. be really cool for you to have. So
it's not going to be discarded.
No, no, it's not going to get thrown away. My grandfather bought me those boots.
Oh man,
I needed them, and yeah. It's such a cool thing, man. Like he had a building behind his house that had yeah. gotten old and worn down. And I needed some wrestling boots. And he said, I'm not going to give you the money. They were expensive.
Yeah.
They were $350
yeah.
for a pair of boots. And he said, I'm not going to buy them for you flat out, but I need that building torn down and hauled off. And if you'll do that, then I'll buy you a pair of wrestling boots.
Yeah.
And I did. And he bought me those boots. And I've kept them all these years. I even sold them one time and then didn't sell them because I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah. Well, dude, I can't take one of your boots that your grandpa.
No, no, you can. I mean, I won't.
Oh, man.
Like, I that's want you to have it.
Dude, that's such a cool story because I think you even said something to me. We were at a show, and a guy was wrestling in sneakers and kick pads.
Yeah.
And I think you said it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the sentiment was, if you're not serious enough to buy wrestling boots, you're not serious enough.
Right. Get out of the business. If you don't care enough to invest $400 or $500 in good gear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You just waste. There's so much. And I don't give a lot of advice to people trying to get into business, but if you're wanting to be an indie wrestler, I can certainly give that.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how to get to WWE.
Right.
Because I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I didn't make it to WWE. But I can tell you what not to do to get into the independent wrestling business.
Yeah.
And one thing you don't need to do is wear a t-shirt and short. Kevin Steen can do it because that's his look.
Yeah.
But before he went to WWE, he invested in better shorts.
Yeah.
And better boots.
Yeah.
Better, you know what I mean? And he still had good boots.
Yeah.
I just think boots are important.
Yeah.
You know, I had a guy tell me one time, and I mentioned it, I did get yeah. recruited a little bit yeah. by some guys, and he come out and said, you had those boots on, and you're the only guy on the card that looked like a wrestler.
Yeah.
Because you had real boots.
Because you can't just go to Walmart and get a pair of wrestling boots.
No, they are custom made. You have to. Now, you can buy cheap boots.
Yeah.
But if you want to buy them, I bought mine from the guy that made Booker T and Gold Dust. And
oh, yeah.
He made a lot of their. He makes made Abdul the Butcher's boots.
Oh, the little point. Oh, yeah. Yeah, always
you can
like
get
those.
Yeah, I didn't get them, but you could get those yeah. when you got them. But, like, you have to measure. You measure from your knee to your ankle. You measure from the tip of your toe to the back of your heel. You measure across the top of your foot. You have yeah. to send them. It's not like you say, I need an 11 or a 12 yeah. or a 13. There's a list, and you fill it out. It's this to this, and they're custom made to fit your foot.
Wow.
And they have lifts in them, too, so you might be able to wear them. It'll make you look a little taller.
I can get up to 5'8".
That's right. You'd be 5'8".
5'8".
So, yeah, anyway, I'm going to give you the but well, you'll have to get a cool Sharpie because it'll
have to be the silver.
It'll have to be the silver Sharpie. You'll have to have your own.
Dude.
But I think that'll be a cool piece for you to have.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you're going to have to carry around the mic and the recorder because I'm going to have this size 17.
No, actually, these are not that big. They're I mean, it's long, but it's not. I think they were 11s. It's right. like equal to – I wear a 13.
Yeah.
And everything else. But these are like size 11 shoes or something. Yeah. I mean, like I guess just because they were custom made.
Yeah.
You know, plus I don't know. I don't know the difference in size, but I remember them not being as big as my normal boots, and I was surprised.
Huh. Yeah. It would be cool – It would be cool
if you got both of them and you walked around in them. Yeah, I know.
I always like
they'd be like thigh highs on you.
Come up to my waist. I always like the Dusty Rhodes boots.
Yeah,
and then he and Magnum got the matching the red like the cowboy yeah. boots and stuff.
I almost got those just because but I didn't do it. I wasn't a cowboy. But I loved those boots.
Yeah.
The Barry Windham wore them. Yeah. I just thought those were the coolest wrestling boots, man.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish at some point, and I almost got the Abdullahs, but I thought it won't match. But,
yeah.
You know, so I just went with black patent leather.
Yeah.
And one of them will be yours now. So.
Well, daggummit. So at 86, the Horsemen are formed. They do become a gang. And they've already broken his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to jump him in a parking lot.
Yes.
What's before? I mean, I can't remember what.
It was just the usual, we don't like each other, back and forth.
And I have
personal
bought,
issue stuff.
I have hired a cameraman, and I have paid for this TV time mm-hmm. to show this clip. They black it out when they hit his arm.
Yeah. You know where that came from?
You told me one time.
There's an old Marlon Brando Western where he played a gunslinger. And he come into town, and he used his right hand, and they tied him up and broke his right hand. And he left town and learned to shoot with his left hand and come back. Their thought was they'd cripple him, and he wouldn't be able to get his revenge on him. And the sheriff had him break his arm, and like I said, he went off, and he learned to shoot with the other hand.
Oh, I'm thinking Kingpin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, wrong movie.
Got Munson. What does that
What's
mean?
What's that mean? Yeah, that's a good, what a great movie.
So then what you've got is since there's four horsemen, Dusty's got to gather his friends.
Right.
So you've got...
originally Magnum.
You got Magnum
and
T.A.
And the Road Warriors.
Road Warriors.
And Paul Ellering to combat J.J. Dillon.
I'm trying to think timeline because
right after this is when Magnum has his wreck because Starrcade 86.
That's kind of in is that September or October?
I don't remember
because it's during the summer. During this,
Starrcade 86 was Nikita versus Flair.
87 is War Games.
It was supposed War Games was the Great American Bash.
I know, but it was in 86.
No, because Dusty won the world title at Great American Bash 86.
Yeah.
So it would have been 87, yeah, because that would have been the year they did the War Games.
Okay.
I think. And as like I said, it so much happens. And that was, you know, yeah. I'm not a date guy.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
I
just
mean?
Trying to keep everything. So we get into, again, Dusty has created the Great American Bash. He creates Starrcade. 86, they're going to do a one-month tour, 14 shows all around the country, baseball parks, different places. Some of them drew really well. Some of them didn't draw
and
as
they,
well.
And they also would have Waylon Jennings and David Allen
yes.
Coe and George Jones. A lot of guys come out and did country music concerts too.
So Flair's going to defend his belt against different opponents at all these shows.
And I can remember seeing some of the video of I remember him wrestling Hawk.
Yeah.
One of those for some reason that was on a commercial video that they released.
But Dusty talks about they're going to have the cage match. And he says
I watched this promo just the other day.
What does he say? If they be, let them be or something like that. But he says that famous the stratosphere is reserved for me and you, no interference.
The horseman can ride on another planet because I reserve the stratosphere for you and me living on the end of a lightning bolt.
And so at this point in time, oh man, we there's so much to talk.
Yeah, there's about. We haven't even got to WWF yet.
I mean, we haven't even because I was about to say that I think this the night he wins the title at the Bash. Baby Doll's in his corner.
Yeah, she so is because for that promo that he cuts, there's another promo where she's standing behind him. Because we missed the whole Baby Doll killed Floyd.
Yeah.
Floyd the horse. If you see when Dusty comes out and cuts the promo, poor Floyd, he's about to cry. He ain't never had that much weight on him before. he cuts this great. And they would always tease that Dusty was going to hit Baby Doll, or that Magnum was going to hit Baby Doll, and they, you know, of course, they never got to it.
But, yeah.
Well,
somebody hit her.
Tully hit her.
Because remember the guy at FanFest last year's like, you shouldn't have hit Baby Doll.
Yeah, that's right.
so let's rewind to before you get to 86. Dusty has the feud with Tully. Well, that's going to be Starrcade. I'm so
that's confused. Starrcade 86.
But by this time,
when they have the first
he's won. I think the Bash 85 is when he wins Baby Doll for a month, and they video.
Yeah, they go out to Nelson Royals Ranch.
Yeah.
And they're making Baby Doll do all the chores, and she says, "Hey, you know, I've worked hard. Can I can I just ride that old horse? And she gets on the horse, runs away, steals Dusty's credit card.
Hey, come back.
Goes to Hawaii. Dusty comes out. They show this. And then a week or two later, he comes out. He gives a promo where Floyd died because Baby Doll had been put the strain of toting Baby Doll around was too much for him.
Oh, my goodness. So good. So good. I remember he came out. He's like, she took my credit card. And he gives a dollar amount. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Just going on and on and on. And then eventually, you know, Telly does, you know, hit her or whatever. And she turns good and is in Dusty's corner. This match we're talking about, 86. Actually, I have a friend who was at that match.
Right.
And I want to say it was either June 29th or July. It was around this time, you know, this time of year. And I just remember, I think I told you, I think this match was on Saturday night because I was doing a little research. Because I don't know. I just like the facts and figures and dates and stuff. Right. So this match was on Saturday. That following Monday, we were in Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy comes out. And I'll tell you to my dying grave, because typically there was a guy named Scooter Leslie who has a distinctive voice.
Right.
Typically, he was the ring announcer. I want to tell you that the ring announcer that night was the guy from the Greensboro Coliseum. Yeah. What was his name? I can't remember his name.
Freddie something.
But just also of distinctive voice. And the first thing he says, we are excited to announce a new world heavyweight champion, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Because they're doing this whole Bash tour.
Right.
And if you're watching TV, you have no idea.
No, you don't know what's going on if happening. You're not there.
There was a great issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated with Dusty on the front where they told you the card of every one of the shows.
Right.
It was great. It was great.
I wonder if I've got that one. I need to see if
I had it. Can't find it.
I need to see if I got that. Because I got a big stack of them. But
Yeah. But it just so excited to hear that, and then they showed the clip from the match. So let me ask you this: that title win, because at that point, it's you've almost resigned yourself to the fact Dusty is never going to beat Ric Flair.
Right.
I felt like even though the Dusty finish in 85 was phenomenal, I felt like they missed.
Yeah, it's there again. It's that waiting too long.
Yeah.
You know, but the money was always in the chase for Dusty.
And yeah.
Once he won the title,
yeah.
Where do you go from there?
He only held it,
I think, for like a month.
It wasn't even a month. I was shocked that it was only a week or two, and he loses it.
Yeah, because he lost it in August.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So it wasn't even a month.
So you take up his three world title reigns, and it may not even be a month.
Yeah, they're not long. Yeah, they're not long at all.
But
he didn't need the title.
No.
I think he would have liked to have had a longer run with it. But, I mean, just being able to say you were the NWA champion at that time was a big deal.
To me, it says more. When Dusty Rhodes says, I was a three-time NWA world top champion, that says a lot more to me than
Orton saying he's like a 15.
I'm a 15. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
he was the champion in an era when a bunch of people had to decide it was okay to put the belt on him.
Right. Right.
It wasn't always. Sometimes it was a one or two day thing that guys would do on their own. But I mean, for the most part, it was a committee who decided, and it was a prestigious title.
And
it meant something for them to care enough to give you the NWA title.
And so I remember watching that match. It's one of my favorite matches because there comes a point in the match where the mood of the match changes.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, wait a minute. Something feels different about this.
Right.
And he, you know, he wins with a small package. Dusty Rhodes doing a small package. Craziness.
Small package is more your thing.
That's right. I am the. That's my finisher. My finisher is the small package. Heath,
the small package Mulligan. That's a good nickname for you.
No, it is.
I think we should make that happen.
So instead
that needs to go viral.
Hashtag small package. I have no comeback to that.
I know.
The small package that'll leave you wanting more.
I don't think we need to go there.
So he wins the belt, loses the belt, and then Magnum goes down.
Right. And then we get that great, Nikita Koloff coming down to assist Dusty Rhodes out of respect for his greatest rival.
Yeah.
Because they had to do something. And yeah. Nikita gets the title shot at Starrcade 86 that would have been
Magnum's.
It would have been Magnum's.
So at 86, Dusty's the TV champion. He's defending against Tully Blanchard.
And I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, you do.
I do know.
You do know. But it's going to be a first blood match.
Uh-huh.
Which, to me, I was very intrigued by a first blood match.
Right.
But I remember thinking as a kid, Dusty, that's not your best match.
That's not going to be your match. Yeah, because Dusty would bleed at the drop of a hat, man. He'd hit a turnbuckle and his head would bust open, you know.
But he comes out and he has shaved his head.
Yes.
He got a crew cut. But he has shaved it clean above his ears and has wrote Telly.
He had wrote
Telly, and on one side it was backwards.
Yeah, it was backwards, like he had looked in the mirror, I guess, and did.
But I think it was when – because they always showed a Starrcade clip.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Like, that's what boom, 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 boom. I mean, that was so great. I remember just seeing these. And it wasn't even movie videos. It was like still photos.
It was like the photo come out of nowhere. And it was just super embossed on the screen, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, if I could. I'd love to have those.
I would too, man. Like, the network's cool, but I wish I still had those VHSs that I had of that stuff, man. Because they were so much. I don't know, man. It's like I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Blu-ray,
yeah. But
sometimes that grainy footage makes it cooler. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
It is what it is. They've cut a lot of good stuff out. Like when the WWE Network, they cut all the entrance music out, which I hate.
Yeah.
I mean, not cut it. They covered it up with this ding to ding ding to ding 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 ding. So you don't get to hear. Yeah, you don't get to hear Sting coming out to Seek and Destroy anymore.
Yeah.
And you don't get to hear Junkyard Dog coming out to Another One Bites the Dust and
Grab Them Cakes.
Yeah, you don't get to hear that. I miss that. You don't even get to hear Iron Man with the Road Warrior. Now they redid their own version of it.
That
We Are Iron Man or something like that. And it's pretty close, but it's not as good as hearing it,
Yeah. So in this first blood match, it's kind of a dusty finish.
He busts Telly open. Yeah.
JJ with the Vaseline and cleans him up. Roll of quarters hits Dusty. Dusty loses the TV title. And, man, I miss that belt. Such a good belt.
Oh,
such
I love
a good
that
title.
Belt. That's one
great
of my favorite
feuds.
Belts. Yeah.
That was really cool. I didn't realize the side plates were like ABC, NBC, right. And all that. It's like, oh, it is TV.
It's the TV title, yeah.
So then we get into 87, okay? And the feud with Dusty and the Horsemen's running hot.
Mm-hmm.
They got a new kid coming in, Lex Luger. So Ole's out of the picture. And Lex Luger's in his place.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into War Games, when I talk about Ole, the first singles match I ever remember seeing Ole have was Ole Anderson versus Big Bubba Rogers at NASA Coliseum. In New York, where they did the bunkhouse stampede in the cage, where he had to throw the guy out of the cage. Let's talk about Dusty Rhodes and the bunkhouse stampede.
The Bullet of Woods.
If you will. The bronze boot.
The bronze boot champion. And he would always bring up that he was that. But I thought that was like had the coolest introduction where there again, Nelson Royal sitting out by his campfire and he's explaining. Yes. Back in the day, these guys would have an issue at the bunkhouse and they would go outside and they would all just have a big brawl. And, you know, it was intended to something to get Dusty over.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was all about Dusty winning that and having this specialty. He was already the master of the cowbell match and the bull rope match. And
now, what's great how we got there is the Bunkhouse Stampede, if you don't know.
It's on the network.
Is simply...
It's a battle royal where you can come as you are, and they put a cage up around the ring.
Yeah. So well, finals,
right, the finals was in a cage,
But leading up to that, they were doing, if you won an individual bunkhouse stampede, which was typical over the rope, you earned your spot in this finals.
Right.
That's when Luger, that's later on. No, that's leading up to this when Luger gets kicked out of the Horseman, because he was not in the Horseman.
Yeah, he didn't fit well.
Too long, because they get to the end and they're going to let JJ win the bunkhouse stampede, and Luger doesn't go for that. People have said it before, and it's true, and it's not derogatory. I mean, they may mean it derogatory, but Dusty knew how to book Dusty.
Oh, no doubt. That's why he liked working with Tully so much.
Yeah.
Tully sold. That's why Zbyszko didn't get a run, because Zbyszko couldn't sell for Dusty like Dusty liked people to sell for him. If you could sell for Dusty... they was at one time, Dusty had gotten kind of a mobile, and they'd call it the chorus line. He'd stand in the corner with his elbow cocked, and they'd just feed him, all four of them. And it caused problems.
Yeah.
They reached a point where the Horseman, said, we got to do something, because he's taking all our heat.
Yeah.
This is when the problems started developing between him and Flair and him and Tully. And very famously, Tully, when they were trying to figure out where all the money was going, he said, well, if you talk to Dusty about flying himself around on that private plane all the time, and it caused a big stink.
Yeah.
And it caused a lot of heat between Dusty and Tully.
Yeah.
That led to them not getting offered as much money and them leaving and going to WWF.
Yeah. So 87, we get to the summer. The Great American Bash is just, it's not as structured, but there's just going to be different cards throughout the summer.
It's basically it's a house show. They do country music and concerts, and they treat it like it's a night out.
And we went to a show in Greenville and didn't know till we got there that it was a Great American Bash show.
Huh.
And the main event was, I think it was an 8-man. Because they didn't have the room to do the war games there. But it was 8-man, the Horsemen versus Nikita, Dusty, and the Road Warriors. And I just remember, oh my goodness. And the finish was, Arn was coming off the second rope on somebody, and on the way down, Animal clotheslined him and gave him the pin. And just really cool. I mean, just that was cool just to see that, just to see that match. And I remember we were up in the... as high as you could be in the old Greenville Auditorium. Yeah. I mean, it was great. But the War Games, when they announced that, it's like nothing we'd ever seen before.
No.
Unless you lived in Memphis.
It was the match beyond.
Yes.
Yeah. Even Memphis didn't do anything like
two
that.
Two rings surrounded by a cage. Mm-hmm. And when they first started off, you're looking at an hour intermission. Just get that thing
set up.
Nowadays, the rigging and everything doesn't take them long, but they had the old War Games when that came out on VHS at Jerry's Video.
Oh man, we talked about it. I think our very first show we ever did, we talked about going up to Jerry's and not how many times I rented that War Games.
Yeah,
and I'm guessing that when I couldn't get it, it was because you had it.
Well, and then when I lived in Central. Jerry's went out of business, and I went to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had I had intentions of buying every wrestling tape he had.
Right.
And,
because he had a good selection.
He did.
He had like the old world class, the parade of champions that they would do. He had those. He had all the Coliseum stuff, which were always a letdown. The Coliseum videos were always bad.
Once you had even watching a Mid-Atlantic tape that for the most part was heavily edited. Yeah. You'd have a 10-minute match edited down to 4 minutes.
Right.
Now, that was the great thing about the War Games, the setup of the match. You had to see the whole match.
Right.
And so many of the...
And it did have the whole match on the War Games VHS.
All the War Games matches on the tape had the full match, but then the matches they would have on the Coliseum video were like
house show
matches that didn't matter.
Yeah, that didn't matter.
It would be
a Hulk Hogan video, but there'd be like one Hulk Hogan match. And the rest of them would be just like...
Snake and Jimmy Bob.
Right, Jimmy Jack Funk and like that. Yeah, they were not good.
It didn't have the small package Heath Mulligan on there. Always disappointing.
Yes, it is. Always disappointing.
Will you stop?
You say these things, not me.
But the War Games match, I remember the first time watching that. Just the fact, I mean, you're talking about 87. The camera work. I mean, there's stuff today where the camera work's terrible.
Right.
Like, especially for a cage match. Yeah. Or they have that little hole in the cage and the camera's just there.
Yeah.
And I just felt like the production of those War Games, the intensity of those War Games, I think Flair said at one time, he said, how many war? He said, I've never won a War Games.
Yeah.
He said, we never won.
Listen, they're not supposed to.
Right.
It was Hogan and them that ruined the War Games when they would have, the babyface, whatever, the heels, NWO is supposed to win, or the babyfaces would have the advantage. Well, that's, you don't understand basic wrestling booking.
Right.
The babyface should always be fighting from underneath.
Yeah.
In situations like that.
And the Horsemen always won the coin toss. So it was always going to be two on one, three on two.
Yeah.
So the first one, JJ.
Dusty Rhodes booked for heat.
Yeah.
He booked for heat. He booked himself, and this is not an original thought, as John Wayne. And you'd see John Wayne take a hill in a movie.
Yes.
And he might get shot in the shoulder. He might get his eye poked out. But at the end, when he got to the top, he was going to win.
Yeah.
And that's how Dusty Rhodes booked himself. Yeah. He was going to take every single shot that could be taken on the way to the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And he was going to get beat down the entire time. But once he got there, then he was going to win.
And
that's when the payoff came.
And nobody
books for heat like that anymore.
Like, but when you would watch a John Wayne movie, the bad guys are going to be believable.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have a few guys helping
him. Despicable.
Right. But you pay to see a John Wayne movie.
Right. John Wayne hated High Noon.
Really?
The movie High Noon, which is this classic Western. John Wayne hated it. And that's why he made, it was Rio Bravo or Rio Lobo. I can't remember which one it was. I can't remember the name of it right now. My grandpa would be disappointed because we watched them all.
Rio Grande?
Maybe it is. But in High Noon, it's Gary Cooper, and these guys are coming into town to kill him. And he's going around begging everybody in the town to help him. And John Wayne hated that. And he's like, no, you're the good guy. You don't beg anybody to help you.
Yeah.
You don't need anybody to help you.
Yeah.
You take it on because you're a man, and that's what you do. And that's the way it was with Dusty.
Yeah.
These guys would help Dusty because they respected him. They didn't help him because he went and asked for it.
Yeah. Yeah. You helped him because when you helped Dusty, you helped the fans.
Right. Right.
Cause
until the Road Warriors got tired of it.
Right.
I got tired of, and it was the angle that got Dusty fired.
So are we ready? So
I am. I mean, you can only say so much.
So, right. So let's finish up. Starrcade 87, Dusty makes a big deal. He's never been the U.S. champion. He's going to challenge Lex Luger. JJ throws a chair into the cage. Dusty DDTs him on the chair. Dusty becomes U.S. champion, not for long, but that's kind of starts the whole Lex Luger leaving the Horsemen. Then we get to 88.
And 87 is important there again, but I've already talked about it. The Dusty finish and the,
the Road Warriors
Tully and Arm.
I think that was on the first. So here's what we need to do. we're coming to a stopping point. We've still got Dusty's final days in Crockett going out of business, Polka Dots, Sapphire. I want to be your partner.
Right.
So much left to talk about. Yeah. And this is, you know, therapeutic for me just to kind of get my, and I've been going back and watching some old Dusty Rhodes stuff. So here's what we want you to do. This is part two. We want you to go to doubledropkick.com, or you can download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Download the first part of our Dusty Remembering Dusty Rhodes. Go on, if you're on iTunes, hey, if you're there, you need to leave us a 5-star rating and review.
That's all you have to do is click on the star.
You just click on a star. You didn't even have to give a root. Now, it'd be great if you left a review and just said, this is the greatest wrestling podcast on God's green earth.
Yeah. The Harley Race of podcasts.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We don't talk about, I've said it before, say it again.
Continue to say
it. I will continue to say it. I am sorry. If you came here looking for a 1-hour recap of a 3-hour show that within itself was an hour and a half of recaps, this is not the show for you. We talk about the stuff we want to talk about, which is typically the wrestling we grew up with, which is a huge part of that, was Dusty Rhodes. So doubledropkick.com, you can see all our episodes. You can see other articles we've written, other interviews we've done. If you have not gone to nwalegends.com, you need to go do that. Mark and I are leaving right now to go to a meeting for Golden Corner Wrestling, which we're involved in. That's on Facebook. Go like the page. If you're in upstate South Carolina, August 15th, we're putting on a show at Bounty Land Baptist. Not just a wrestling show. Caprice Coleman's going to be sharing his testimony after the main event. Very excited for that. Very excited for Mark and I to be providing commentary for that. If you want to tell us your favorite Dusty Rhodes story, or hey, tell us something we missed that we need to get on the next episode, you can do that in our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, or you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken, and Mark
at the DDK Show.
Use the hashtag SnotBubble. Use the hashtag Marking Out with Mark. Use the hashtag Leave 'em Wanting More, or Yeah Yeah Yeah, which I have been saying that a lot today in this recording session, just because Mark's on fire. Mark loves Dusty Rhodes, and I love Dusty Rhodes, and my hand is touching his hand. Actually, it's not. We're sitting about 12 feet apart. Go do all those things. If you're on our website, please, 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 please click on a banner, support the show, buy some great stuff. We got some great giveaways coming up on the show as we get closer to Fan Fest.
Yeah, and just so you know, man, I gave Justin Donahue the Death of WCW book.
Yeah.
A lot of people will do giveaways, and they'll say, follow us on Twitter and retweet this, and we'll send you something or whatever. I'm not giving anything away like that.
Yeah.
It will be – you'll have to have been listening to this show
right.
to win anything from us.
Yeah.
Because I'm not giving anything to somebody that just retweets us so they can win something. I want to give something.
Yeah.
Because that used to – it drives me nuts when I'm a – loyal fan or a loyal follower of something, and I do what I can to put them out, and then they give stuff away to people that don't care about it.
Right.
I want to give stuff away to our friends and our family who listen.
Yeah.
That's who I want, because I consider everybody friends and family of
the
show.
That's exactly
They're
right.
They're not fans of the show. They're friends and family.
That's right. Yes.
And I want to give y'all stuff.
We're building a community.
Right. But it's going to be for people that actually listen to us. So you need to pay attention to some of the things that we say, because we may go back to a previous show and say, hey, I said this or he said that.
We're not going to make it easy for you.
No, you're not just going to get something for retweeting us. You're going to actually have to listen to the show to get something.
Yeah, listen, there's too much giving away just because you can click a button in this world. Yeah. Now, we do want you to click on a banner.
That's right.
Support the show, buy something, get you a free Audible trial audio, a free auto.
Audible trial.
And a free audio book, which I think you can get Dusty Rhodes' book for free.
You can get Dusty's book. It seems like Hogan's book's on there.
Yeah.
I think Steve Austin's book might be on there. Not sure. There's a but you don't have to just get wrestling. I mean, they got the latest from Stephen King.
Yeah.
It's free. What else do you want? You get a free book.
Free book.
You help us out.
A free book, even if you cancel the free trial.
You get to keep the free book.
You still get to keep the book. And even if you cancel the free trial, we still get a kickback.
That's right.
So it works out for everybody. We're not asking
Listen,
you.
Listen, it does. We're putting everybody over.
You get a free book.
Yeah.
A free audio book. What more do you want?
No strings attached.
Yep.
So.
Get the book and cancel the trial.
There you go. You already downloaded it. What are they going to do?
You'll still have the book.
Tommy Young, if you do that, Tommy Young's not going to come up and say, no, no, no. He canceled his trial. He's got to get back the free book. No. He's not going to do that.
Yeah, there won't be any of that mess. No, there won't be no dusty finishes in your free audio book.
No, not at all. Not at all. So thanks for listening today. It has been great talking about, one of our favorites, Dusty Rhodes. And as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I am Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.